Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Our friend A.J. Jacobs has written another book. He's done it again, put his wife and kids through a year of what now? This time, the year of living constitutionally, one man's humble quest to follow the Constitution's original meaning. A.J. Jacobs is back on WGN. Hi, A.J., how are you?
Good morrow, John. I am doing well.
I thought you were going to say something like that, or greeting citizen or something like that.
I commit to the bit, yeah.
Although it's over now, what was the year? When to when did you live as our founding fathers would have?
It was election day to election day, so it ended in early November. But I'm still keeping, I still have my tricorn hat. You can't see it, but I'm wearing it just to get into character for you.
So I think the title speaks for what you tried to do. Why did you try to do this? Why did you try and live as the founding fathers might?
Well, I realized it a couple of years ago. I never read the Constitution. I knew the we the people part, the preamble, because of Schoolhouse Rock, thank you. But I never read it. And yet, every day I would hear on the news that this 230-year-old document is having a huge impact on how I live my life, how millions of Americans live their lives, and is still the subject of these heated debates. So I thought, I need to figure out what the Constitution actually says, what it really means. And as you mentioned, the way I like to learn is I immerse myself. I live it. I did it for the year of living biblically, where I followed all the rules of the Bible, the Ten Commandments, growing a huge beard. And I decided, let's try it with the Constitution. I'll be the ultimate originalist and follow the original meaning from the 1700s. So I carried a musket on the Upper West Side of New York, where I live. I gave up social media, and I wrote pamphlets with a quill pen. And, I put my, as you say, it was a little absurd at times, but it was also amazing and enlightening, and it really helped me understand how should we interpret the Constitution, and how should it affect our lives, and how to keep democracy alive.
How is it enlightening? What surprised you that you learned over the course of the year?
So much. I'll just start with one. There's lots of political stuff that was surprising, but also lots of lifestyle stuff. So the political stuff that was surprising, one thing is the founders would be shocked by how powerful the president is right now. They would spit up their Madeira. They did not see the president becoming this powerful. And I'm talking both Democrat and Republican.
Ditto the Supreme Court, too, you might add.
I agree, yes. The Supreme Court, way too powerful. Back then, it was Congress. Congress was first among equals, and they would just be appalled. In fact, at the Constitutional Convention, they were so worried about one person having that much power because they hated monarchy. They considered 3 presidents. They considered 12 presidents. So can you imagine like Biden and Trump and RFK Jr. co-working in the Oval Office? Be very interesting. They decided against that, but they didn't put enough guardrails on the presidency, and this is what we've ended up with. So that was one. And then in terms of the lifestyle, I don't want to go back to the 1700s. It was smelly. It was racist, sexist. It was terrible in many ways. But there were things. I loved writing the book with a quill pen by candlelight because it changes the way you think when you write offline. There are no dings and pings to pull your attention away, and I actually think I was able to have better thoughts than I would if I were typing.
I'm glad you brought that up. I thought you would. I think that was a really interesting thing. And it wasn't just the way you wrote, but it was also what you read and consumed. You stayed offline as much as you can. And so on a Saturday afternoon, you didn't have to worry about what CNN was saying about Donald Trump or whatever. You were able to relax and life slowed down for you a little bit, right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I will say, I know that you're on a news talk radio, so I don't want to say anything too bad. But in the 1700s, they got their newspaper twice a week. Ben Franklin's paper came out twice a week. So you would read it and you would digest it and think about solutions, as opposed to now, where I feel I'm getting fire hosed 18 hours a day with negative news, and it is very hard to function that way.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're starting to talk more and more about how that impacts our kids, because they're growing up with handheld news outlets, and we worry about the anxiety, but it's all of us. All of us are being fire hosed with, as you said, negative news or information, and that's not good for America. It's not good for any individual. I'm with you on that. You know, when we think about the Constitution, I think the issues that obviously come to mind are First Amendment speech rights, Second Amendment gun rights, religion is a First Amendment thing, right to life and abortion. These are all things that have constitutional footings, right?
Right. And that was part of why I wrote the book. I wanted sort of a crash course in what does the Constitution actually say about these topics? And I found it was very different from what the Supreme Court says the Constitution says. The scholars of the real Constitution say that the originalists, which are five of the six conservative justices, who think about the original meaning, they actually have gotten the original meaning wrong in many ways.
And I mentioned a moment ago what you said about speech and how the Alien and Sedition Act was something that did not allow certain kinds of speech. And you also mentioned laws over the years that prohibited things like cussing. But let's make the point that you're about to. What are some of the things that the originalists today think that don't really reflect what the original writers of the Constitution meant?
Well, I think the First Amendment's a great example. I'm a big fan of the First Amendment and free speech, but more of the modern version of free speech. Back then, it was much more constrained. It wasn't quite Stalinist Russia, but like you said, there were state laws against cussing that were considered perfectly constitutional. You couldn't make jokes. You know, every late night comedian would have been thrown in jail during the Adams administration.
Yeah.
And it's not just progressives and liberals who would have hated the First Amendment of that era. It was also conservatives, because the whole idea of Citizens United and that it's free speech to give money to politicians, that would not be protected in the original First Amendment. The founders were very concerned about corruption in politics.
Explain that to me, because these conservative justices are the one that read Citizens United as companies are people and can give mass amounts of money. So how did we get it wrong? What's talk about that?
Well, I think what happens is, and we're all human, so I have a quote from my Bible book. We both read the Bible day and night. You read black and I read white. So we are very good at confirming our own preconceptions. Mm-hmm. So part of this was to go in with no preconceptions and say, what did they actually mean? And if you do that, then you realize the First Amendment is very bizarre. And I actually, since I was living it, I tried to reinstate the law from New York State in the 1790s, where I fined my kids, teenage sons, 37.5 cents for every curse or blaspheme. So I was hoping to make money that way.
Wait, you were fining your kids. What does that have to do with the Constitution?
Because the Constitution, under the original First Amendment, would not find laws that restricted free speech unconstitutional. It was considered perfectly okay to have laws about fining people 37.5 cents for every time they said the S word or said damn.
Right.
And this was shocking. So I thought I would.
The first time you caught your son doing that, you said that'll be 37.5 cents. And he said, I don't have a half a cent. Let's wait until the next cuss word will round it up. And
exactly.
So then I got to 75 cents and he still wasn't good for it, as I recall.
Right. He cussed again so they could get it up to the half cent. So he would be a very good lawyer because he's good at finding the loopholes.
Yeah. You know, as much as we revere the Constitution, and You didn't ask, but my opinion is way too much. I'm a Jeffersonian, and I think we should tear the thing up every 19 years. But but enshrined in the Constitution are horrible, terrible things. I mean, talk about what it says about enslaved persons.
Yes, exactly. It definitely condones slavery. And luckily, we have the amendment process so that we have the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments that made slavery illegal. So thank God for that. The problem is, it is so hard to pass an amendment now. The founders did not anticipate this frozen two-party system. So they didn't think it would be this hard to pass an amendment, which makes it really troublesome to have this Constitution that's so inflexible. And that's why we've resorted to more these very loose interpretations of the Constitution to try to get it to align with modern-day values.
What'd your wife think about the year of you wearing that triangular-shaped hat carrying around a musket in New York?
She liked it a little better than the beard I had for the Bible book. She wouldn't kiss me for 7 months. But she didn't. There were many parts that drove her crazy. There was beef tallow candles smell a little like rotten meatloaf. She didn't like that. She didn't like some of the 18th century laws, which would say, for instance, married women cannot sign contracts, which was considered a constitutional law. I tried to enforce that for basically an hour, but she was so much more financially savvy, and she has a business, so that was just a disaster.
Yeah, that would be a bad law to, or maybe stricture to try and adhere to. But in fact, didn't you say that maybe it was just the custom at the time that a woman would not form a friendship outside of her husband's approval? So if Julie met somebody, she would need to kind of run it through you. Am I recollecting your book correctly that way?
That is 100%. Yes, that was not a law, but that was the custom in the time of George Washington, that a woman would have to get permission to have a male friend. And that would, I didn't even try that one with my wife.
Mike Pence and his wife, or some version of it, now that I think about it. Let's pause for just a minute. A.J. Jacobs' book is The Year of Living Constitutionally, One Man's Humble Quest to Follow the Constitution's Original Meaning. I have not sat down and read the Constitution word for word. I think we've all, when a conversation came up, thumbed through something that we have in our house. But did you do what A.J. did? No, you didn't. Thank goodness for you. I'm looking at a picture of him smoking one of those long, ridiculous pipes that the founding fathers would sometimes use and share, I might add. A.J. Jacobs' latest book is The Year of Living Constitutionally, One Man's Humble Quest to Follow the Constitution's Original Meaning. He read the whole thing and then tried to live as the founding fathers lived, not just by the words, but by the clothes and the lifestyle. You heard him a moment ago mention he wrote with a quill pen by candlelight. I mean, he really went as offline as he could. So what surprised you or will surprise us, either about the Constitution or your year, AJ?
Well, that is hard to choose. There's a lot to choose from, but I'm going to go with just how mixed the Constitution is when you read it. Some passages are so inspiring, they like make you tear up. Like the preamble about we the people and the general welfare and blessings of liberty. Then you'll get to something like Article 1, Section 8, which has a line about how it's your constitutional right to become a legal pirate, or privateer was the word. Yeah. But you can ask Congress to be a pirate who would... You would put a gun on your fishing boat, a cannon, and go out and capture British ships, and you'd keep the booty, whether that was sherry or uniforms. And this was actually how we won the Revolutionary War, because we didn't have a navy. We kind of outsourced it to private citizens.
Yeah.
And this is still in there. It's still in there. So I thought I would be the first person since 1815 to actually become a legal pirate, and I met with a congressman and presented him my application. He was very enthusiastic until he realized what it actually meant. And then he was a little less enthusiastic.
Yeah, it's a letter of Mark, right? M-A-R-Q-U-E. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. The letter of Mark and reprisal, which I had never heard of because very few people have. But it just shows that this was a document written in the 18th century. And there are parts that have, many parts that have lasted the test of time. Well, the parts about equal protection and liberty. But then there are these parts that are archaic, and it just reminds me, like you said, what do we do with that fact?
Yeah, you wrote to that member of Congress, and you petitioned a letter of mark, and then you said, I'm going to lease a boat, and it doesn't have a gun on it yet, but as soon as you give me this certificate, I promise I'll put a gun on it, and I'll float around and take stuff from folks. And for some reason, they didn't give you that.
He thought about it, but yes, in the end, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting.
We don't have a lot of time here, AJ, but what was your takeaway about the Second Amendment? What did you conclude?
The Second Amendment, I actually had a musket, and I went and fired it. And it is hard. It is 15 steps. You have to put the gunpowder in, take the ramrod out. And so it is a vastly different machine than, say, an AR-15. So I am on the side of people who say that this Second Amendment was written for a very different kind of arm, and that so we cannot just rely on the original meaning. We also have to look at how it affects society.
Right. And today this court has decided that if it's a common use weapon, then it's protected by the Second Amendment because those were common weapons in their day. So a common weapon today would be an AR-15, and citizens would have the right to bear that. And you make such an interesting point when I think you quote a scholar who said that we suffer from the same word describing very different things. Gun, gun. It would be as if a bicycle and a truck were the same thing. No, they're not. Well, they both have wheels and they roll, so I guess they're the same thing. And if we said that an AR-15 is something and a different word was for a gun or musket, maybe we wouldn't have this conundrum, right?
Absolutely. And yes, I think the bicycle versus the Mack truck is an excellent example. If you have a law about bicycles and where they can go, does that always apply to Mack trucks too? No, it might cause chaos.
What was the most embarrassing moment you found yourself in when you had to live a year constitutionally?
Well, there are a lot of them. That is a very good question. I would say that... I met with a senator and presented him with a petition, and I spilled ink because I had brought my ink and quill. I spilled ink on the senatorial carpet, and I felt terrible. I need that rug cleaning place that advertised on your show.
Executive
and
carpet cleaning, yes.
I did something I never did. I added $50 to my taxes because I felt...
to cover it, yeah.
Yeah, to cover it.
That was nice. I know your wife was thrilled with that idea, too. The year has lapsed, but the book is just out. The best-selling author of The Year of Living Biblically. This is the guy who carried around the Encyclopedia Britannica for a year, read every bit of it, and then wrote The Know-It-All. And most recently, The Puzzler was just a delightful book about games and puzzles and the year you all spent doing that. And now, The Year of Living Constitutionally. Okay, AJ, keep doing what you're doing. Keep living your life, man.
Thank you. Had a lovely time, and huzzah for democracy.
Yes, I'm hanging up on ye now. Bye, AJ. There he goes.